it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't had a day around here like this in a long time. Song fits, bros.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, fellas.
We appreciate you being here.
This
is the day you guys need me?
Well, to be fair, we didn't know this would be like this, but I guess it was possible when we knew, you know, today would be a day after game number four, after an Eagles game. I was hoping, when I texted you last time, I was like, maybe it's a great day where we're celebrating. And I think you knew deep down.
Because I knew you were watching
the game
on delay.
Wasn't over. Yeah, the Phillies game wasn't over, but the Eagles were down already probably when
they
I texted.
They were down huge
at
that point.
Yeah, you probably like, this sucker. Yeah, this guy doesn't know what we're up against tomorrow. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to your phone calls here on everything, including the fills, your feeling, your emotion today. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. What is the emotion after last night? Angry, disappointed, shocked, or numb? Numb is winning the poll right now at 36%. Next is disappointed, 32%. Angry at 28%. Shocked at 4%. I think there's different emotions for each team, right? Like, I'm numb on the Phillies because it just feels like we're just dead inside. As far as the Eagles, yeah, it is anger towards the Eagles. I mean, they got out-physicaled by a bad football team. They got, I mean, that Adoree Jackson tackle attempt, Bond getting run over.
Joe, that team just lost to Spencer Rattler.
I know.
That guy hasn't won a football game in 20 years.
The Giants had five consecutive possessions with turnovers 4 days ago and then beat the crap out of the Eagles. It's just, it is alarming what's going on with the football team.
It's nuts.
It is. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here, and then we'll go through the Kirkering stuff after the game, what Topper said, what Kirkering said, and he stood up and you know, that's a tough spot for any athlete, and he answered all the questions. And then we'll hear what J. Roll said about the play after the game on television. Let's go to Johnny up next on WIP. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, how we doing?
We've been better, Johnny.
Yeah, what's up, Johnny?
Same. All right, I put this all real quick, story time. If you told me in the beginning of the season we would have the second best record in the NL, get a bye, and play the Dodgers and get a chance to dethrone them, how are we feeling?
I would have felt good. Like, we have a real shot. We have the two seed. We won all those games, and we get a shot at the Dodgers. I would have felt good. Unfortunately, I feel like crap now.
What if I told you then that we played them in four games in the series, and we held them to 13 runs, which is a little over three runs a game? We held the defending world champs to three runs a game. How would you be feeling?
I would have said, well, we're moving on. We beat the Dodgers. If we held that offense down, we would win the series.
All right, two more things. What then if I told you that our starting pitching went for all four pitchers, went for under 2.5 ERA, 2.35, 2.25, 180, and a 180. How are you feeling then?
I would have said, what date is the parade down Broad Street?
This comes to my point, and I feel like, you know, yeah, Orion messed up real bad. Topper, terrible decisions. The main point that I feel like not enough people are talking about, the main people that we pay all this money, our top three, so terrible. So terrible. Kyle, 3-for-16. Trey, 4-for-17. Bryce, 3-for-15. Cassie, 2-for-15. And remember, that's including game three where we're just teeing off against Kershaw, who, yeah, he's awesome. 38 years old. Obviously, he's out there and, like, you know, you're kind of getting, like, you know, garbage runs. So it's just, like, it's crazy how – and the same thing happened last year, you know, at the Mets. It's like, it's crazy how, you know, we have so much. Kyle doing this legendary regular season. Bryce, who he's supposed to be, Mr. Clutch and all that. And Trey, who, again, we're paying so much. They just don't show up. And it's like, do we just have a bunch of guys in the top? And one last point. It's like, JT has a higher average in the playoffs. Alec has a higher average. And, yeah, Bader only hit a couple times, but Bader was more clutch than all four of those almost combined.
With one leg.
It's crazy how, like, you know, there's just not enough people talking about the starters. And maybe in, like, a week or so when, like, everybody looks back and they're like, yeah, Orion sucks. I just think, especially in game four, final point, Orion should never been in that position. We scored one run. One singular run on a go home day.
But so did the Dodgers for 11 innings.
Yeah.
Hold on. Why do we say our pitching staff was great, that we shut down the Dodgers lineup, but our offense sucks? What about both pitching staffs were just really good, and these were two really good teams, probably the two best teams in the entire field.
I think they were, yeah.
Going against each other. Like, it's always about us. Like,
yeah.
You know, some of this is also about the Dodgers.
That's a good point.
Johnny, good phone call.
I actually felt in the moment, in the game, that it felt like a heavyweight match,
yes.
Meaning, you know, Trey's defense, Stott's defense, Kepler's defense. The Dodgers made a nice play over at third. It felt Sanchez versus Glasnow. It felt like just a really strong playoff matchup more than it was. But big picture, yes, the offense stunk. But in the moment, it felt like a playoff
game. Like, I don't feel like I don't have the same feeling against the Mets where, like, they laid down like dogs, right?
No,
like,
no, they were chumps last year.
You know, some of the boneheaded plays that they made. Yeah. But like, so that's where I get to. The Dodgers just made fewer mistakes than us. And that's what playoff games come down to.
It is. But that's why where I'm at this morning is I don't think this group is good enough. We could rip them for it, but it might just be true. I was talking earlier about those other great teams in sports history. Like, the Eagles were great in the early 2000s. They weren't as great as the Patriots. It's unfortunate, right? It is what it is, though. You know, you go back to the 90s in the NBA, Charles Barkley's Suns were awesome. Guess what they weren't? As good as Jordan's Bulls, right? Like, we're not as good as the Dodgers. And
right.
Their guys are just better than ours. Unfortunately, they're beatable. Like, that's the way sports are. Like, these games are up in the air. We could do it. He's not wrong, though, about the top of the order. I mean, they got to be better. I mean, 1-for-15 last night with the walk is not a good way to go out. And of all of them, bros, for me, the one that is the most different in the postseason has been Turner, right? Like, Schwarber's had his moments. He's got a lot of playoff home runs. Harper's had his moments. Trey Turner, his OPS in the regular season in his career is .827. Like, that's borderline Hall of Fame level. In the postseason, it's .681.
Wow.
I mean, like, he goes from being, and this is over years, right? Nationals, Dodgers, Phillies. He goes from being a you know, borderline Hall of Fame kind of player. And then October rolls around. That's not good.
And the defense is shaky, too.
Right.
There's actually two things here that we have yet to bring up from the game. One, that Alex Call at-bat with Sanchez.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's a terrible call.
I hate to do that, but in a 1-0 game, Christopher Sanchez never shows that. That is the point of, yo, dude, you something I can't say on the radio up. You know what I'm saying? You can't miss that call. You can't miss that call.
It's why, like, I understand in the big picture, you wanted the bats to be better. You wanted them to put up more runs. Some of the bullpen guys, you know, could they have been better? Yeah, and that could be, I mean, the series could look differently. But, like, all of these are coming down to one, two plays.
Yeah.
Each game. They were close games besides the last one where they left Kershaw out there to die. But, like, all of these were close.
They
like, it's comes down to one or a few mistakes. That's why, like, I don't get the, like, don't blame Orion Kirkering or don't blame Topper because of the one decision. Like,
that's where the series was won.
It was the one or two decisions or moments.
Correct.
That decided the games.
Yeah. They won. No, they every toss-up, they won.
Yep.
And we won the laugher. I mean, that kind of sums up the two teams.
And then here's the one other one real quick. There was a time at the end of the year where Brandon Marsh helped really spark this team, and he was a game changer at times throughout the regular season. They were going, hey, boom, do whatever. I'll get the Marsh. I felt they were picking on Marsh, and he's your fifth batter in the lineup.
Yeah, I actually thought Topper made a mistake not recognizing earlier. He should have moved him out of the fifth spot because it allowed the Dodgers to bring in Vesia or whatever, Banda, the other lefty, because they had the Harper, Schwarber, or Schwarber, Harper, Bohm, Marsh pocket. And basically they were like, we just won't pitch to Bohm. We'll just get Marsh out for the third
lefty,
out.
Lefty, yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's another Topper decision that can be ripped apart before the game even begins.
Now, to be fair, if he had Bader, I think Bader ends up, he probably moves him up and tries to avoid that. And without Bader, it becomes, like, I guess you could
put... Yeah, what else do you... Move JT up?
JT is what you could have done.
Yeah.
And JT hit in the series.
You know what? It's what you have to do.
It is.
It's what you have to do.
Yeah, Marsh in the series hit .077 with a .210 OPS. It's
woof.
Just... It's not... Woof is exact... It is a big old woof. All right. Before we get back to the phone lines here, let's talk about the Kirkering situation, because it really is... it's unfortunate. It almost, to me, is like a kicker in football missing a kick in a Super Bowl or a playoff game. Like, that's the image. You can't get out of your head. It's going to be until his career is over. It is what it is. It's a terrible moment. He lost his brain. And the image of JT pointing to first base is going to be burned in all of our brains forever because it was, it just was there. The out was there at first base. We just picked it up and threw it there calmly. He didn't, obviously not. Let's hear from Rob Thompson after the game. What was his message to Orion Kerkring?
You know, he just got caught up in the moment a little bit. You know, coming down the stretch there, he pitched so well for us. And it's, you know, I feel for him because he's putting it all on his shoulders, but we win as a team and we lose as a team.
Well, look, I thought that moment with him hugging Kerkring as he came off the field was, that summed up Topper. Good dude. I know why the players like him. Obviously, strategy in the postseason is an issue. I thought that was the right thing to do, and I'm glad he did it. And he's going to defend this guy. He's not going to put it on Kerkering. He's not going to, and he shouldn't. We can, or we'll talk about it, but I respect the manager for doing that. Let's hear from Orion Kerkering after the game. He stood up. He answered all the questions. Obviously, you could feel, and if you watch the video, you could see the emotion in his eyes. I mean, he felt the gravity of it. Here is Kerkering after the game.
Chain off my foot. Just kind of, once that pressure got to me, I just thought it was a faster throw than JT, a little quicker throw than trying to cross body of the Bryce. So, just more throw.
Yeah. Did you hear them calling, telling you to go to first at all? Or were you just in the moment that it wasn't even?
Just in the moment.
Yeah.
Can you see JT pointing in that moment, or is it just kind of looking up?
Just kind of looking up, just be ready.
I mean, a lot of guys have never done it. One of the first ones there, just what do the guys say to you in that moment?
Just keep your head up. It's an honest mistake. Just, it's baseball. It happens. And just keep your head up. You'll be good for a long time to come. It's not my fault. But just that opportunity to score. Just keep your head up.
Conversation with Rob too. What did he say? What does that mean to you? Care about those guys picking you up so quick?
It means a lot. It shows they care a lot.
Yeah, I mean that's those moments where when athletes have to stand up after their worst moment. That's never an easy spot. I mean sometimes they just give one word answers. He answered the questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I was wondering in the moment, did he forget the outs? I don't think he did. I just think he got blinded by the moment.
He said that. He said the pressure got to him and it rushed his throw, and I think that's exactly what happened. No, some are speculating that maybe the way JT was lined up at home
made him feel like he should go home.
Right, but I mean, I don't blame JT.
Yeah, he's got to cover the base once the ball gets off his foot.
Right.
Just in case he comes home.
And it's crazy because I would have never put Kerkering in any of the moments Rob put him in. But if Trey Turner makes a better throw to JT in the earlier game in the series, and if that bobble goes a different way, then Kerkering actually did his job. But there's a reason why he got the pressure got to him is because there are some guys that get it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And there are some guys that don't at this time of the year, and it's clear that Kerkering doesn't have the same pulse that a Ranger does or a Lizardo does. Yep. And you got to go down swinging with the Lizardos of the world. You just do.
The funny thing is, like, he got out of it. He got a dribbler.
I know.
Back to himself.
Right. It wasn't like he kicked the ball away. Right. He picked it back up. He had plenty of time.
He didn't let up a base hit. He didn't walk in the winning run.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a pitching mistake that he made.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
He just choked.
It was a brain mistake. I mean, and then he exacerbated because he would have got the out at home if he threw the ball to JT's chest. I don't think the ball wasn't beating. The runner didn't beat the throw.
Actually, he didn't even touch it.
Like when you think about how bad it was in every way, if he just threw the ball normal to JT, they're still out of the inning. Like we would have been like, why did you throw it home? That was weird. But like they still would have got the out.
Every single piece of that play, I felt like happened in slow motion.
It did.
It really did. And the dribbler. Him bobbling it.
You know, I actually
picking it back up,
seeing
yeah,
JT point, then the throw, and then it going over his head.
It was so bad that it made me think I forgot the outs. I was like, oh, wait, maybe there was just one out. Was I wrong? Because why would he go home? And then I was like, no, there were clearly two outs.
You know what's nuts? We have two games in this series. I never thought we'd get something worse than the bunt. I thought the bunt was going to be drilled into my head forever. We now have Kerkering. So you know what? The bunt, what, does it go away or is it still part of the equation?
Yeah, you're right. Because that was going to be the image from the series if they lost.
The bunt!
Yeah. Well, it's all going to be, I think, wrapped up into the Rob Thompson blanket.
Yeah. the images of the Rob Thompson era.
Yeah, because
so you're gonna have Alvarez hitting the ball to the moon off of Alvarado.
Right.
You're gonna have Kimbrel in the game in Arizona, and you're gonna have these two moments.
Because I remember as soon as I had saw or heard that they were taking Lizardo out, I was like, oh, we lost the game, because they were because not Lizardo necessarily, but going to Kirkering.
Yeah,
I was like, we lost. You don't put Ryan Kirkering in inheriting runners.
Nope.
Like, you just don't do it.
Here's my question. And I don't disagree. It's the elimination. You got to, like, just push the envelope. I do wonder how much Lizardo had in him. That was 3 days rest.
Okay.
He started Monday night. So he's rested Tuesday. I mean, he's on short rest trying to give them what he's got.
It's fair.
Okay.
But it's funny you bring that up. I wrote this down. This is how much I got rattled.
Got the bros notepad.
Are you kidding me? This thing is, oh man, it's got a lot of pen marks and scratches on it and whatnot. But he said, quote, after the game, I didn't want to push him. That's what Topper said. I didn't want to push Lizardo.
Yeah.
And it brings me back. I know the Red Sox lost the first round in the wild card to the Yankees, but when they let Crochet stay and Max Fried not, there was this viral clip of Alex Cora saying the reason why we pull him at 89 in the regular season, we skip a start, is because when it's the playoffs, everything is on the table, and you push these guys to the limit because you save them for these moments. So the reason why Lizardo, X, Y, and Z in the regular season, why we pull him at 85, why we pull him at 82, why we pull him in the sixth, is so you can push them now.
Yeah.
So hearing Topper say, I didn't want to push him, it's not June, dude. This is when you push them, you know? So, but if he doesn't have anything left in the tank and he's like, I don't have
it. That's different.
It's different. But I don't, I hate that. I didn't want to push him. It's the season's over if you don't push
him. This is the time to push.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm with you. I didn't know. When I took him out, I was like, is the tank empty? Because it is a very short, you know, turnaround from when he threw the ball on Monday night. 215-592-9494. All right, one more from the Kirkering thing. Your reaction to all of it. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a minute. But let's hear Jimmy Rollins after the game last night. I thought J-Roll, it was very strong in this series on all the moments on TV after the game. Obviously, TBS had the broadcast of the series. Here was his perspective on what happened with Kirkering.
How do you process what happened on that last play?
I don't know. It's just full panic mode at that moment when he didn't field the ball properly. He just blacked out. He just panicked, and all he went to think about was the game-winning run was at third. There's still plenty of time.
Pointing in the first.
Plenty of time to make the play. Pajes wasn't even at the 45-foot line, which means he's not even halfway there. JT's coming up pointing that first, yelling. You can't hear, but it goes back to having a game plan. Run through plays. We talk about it. If I strike him out, cool. If it's come back to me, where am I going with it? If it takes me to the third baseline, do I take it and throw it to third? If it takes me to the first baseline, obviously it's right up front. If it's a dribbler right up front, am I going to glove flip the JT? Any of those things, but he just panicked. He just panicked. It was almost, he was, you know, looking for the out, but almost like as if he took his way out of it other than a strikeout. And it's tough to see. It's something that you're going to have to live with.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the rest of your life.
You know, when he described that of the panic and not knowing what to do, it does all come. You mentioned the CEO thing with Nick Sirianni. It comes back to Topper. Like, this is his baseball team. And in the biggest moments, they lost their minds. They did not execute the simplest things. That does come back to Topper. 215-592-9494. Izzy on the cell up on WIP. Izzy, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing?
Izzy, we're getting through. What are you feeling?
What's up, Izzy?
I'm more Eagles right now than Phillies.
Go for it.
You want me to get into it, man? But just hear me out, man. I think what this is a prime example of giving a brand new Lamborghini to a student driver. I think this is what this is, man. Like, this guy on paper, not only on paper, but just on the field, on the tape, we are the best team in the league. But you are very predictable. You keep running up the middle, there's no success up the middle. The two times that we actually had success where Saquon had 30-some-odd yards on two runs, he kind of ran it to the outside a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go away from that. People keep blaming the players. It's easy for somebody to check out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at somebody earlier said, Adrian runs three routes, and he does. He runs go route, a slant route, right? And then he runs a comeback route every game, same three routes. People try to get on Jalen. It's not Jalen's fault, man, not fully. Not fully.
Well, I'm glad you said not fully. I mean, Izzy. Because last night he was bad.
I'm a Jalen guy, Izzy. I'm a big defender. But yesterday was rough. That's all.
Yesterday, a lot of quarterbacks, A.J. ran a fourth route, which was an out route. But Jalen threw him open. He didn't wait for him to get open. He threw him open.
Well, we can always find a pass here and there. But I mean, he missed the big ones. Right.
But Izzy, I mean, the pick, the almost pick six. I mean, A.J.'s coming open across the end zone, and he throws the ball into the flat.
Our first turnover was horrible, right?
Yeah, it's horrible.
So now that's offense. Now defense, man, how he dropping the ball? He wants Fangio to make lemonade out of freeze dried lemons. What the hell? Wants him to make lemonade out of freeze dried lemons. Like we can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And my last thing I'll touch is on Sirianni, man. Like, don't get comfortable, bro. Dougie P won us a Super Bowl. He was gone 2-3 years later. Don't get comfortable, bro. You hired Petullo. He could have gone after Frank Wright. Yeah, he was bad in Indy, but that dude had nothing in Indy compared to what we have in Philly. Like, Sirianni, man, like, he dropped the ball with that hire, bro.
Well,
like,
Izzy, they didn't even really do a search. If we go back to that whole thing, because, you know, it was right after the Super Bowl, and Izzy, good phone call. I mean, that's...
Did they have time?
There's got to be someone better out there.
I agree. Well, they probably realized they were going to give him the nod anyway. Yes. But to your point, I mean, that's malpractice from a GM. And listen, we love Howie. How's Bigsby doing? You like Bigsby? You're a big fan of those draft picks that you gave up for
Bigsby?
And
they weren't seventh rounders. He gave two picks for a kick return. He can't catch the ball.
And then they put in A.J. Dillon, and he can't do it. This whole thing is broken, man.
Yeah, but to the point on Sirianni and the blame for Petullo, which then goes down to the blame for Jalen Hurts, this is two times in the last 3 years when they stay inside the organization to pick an offensive coordinator. It looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad look for Sirianni. It really is. And if it keeps happening, this is, and I've spoken about this a lot over the years, this is the bad part about Sirianni and where he is as a coach. There's no continuity in the offense. Every time we have a good coordinator, they walk out the door to become a head coach, and we're back on this roulette wheel, and it's like every other year we're going to suck.
Whenever he's the guy that has the top offensive mind in theory, whenever he's the guy,
it's bad.
It's putrid. It's putrid.
Yeah, I know we didn't think about it when Moore walked out the door, but this is what happens. It's just like the Shane Steichen thing.
I always say this, though, about when you had Kellen Moore. We always laugh about Cowboys this, Cowboys that. It meant something that he was an offensive play caller and coordinator for a franchise that has expectations.
And for years, at a young age, he got that job.
Right, yeah. And he had some really good numbers there. So knowing what that's like and coming here, man, that experience is huge. And I'm sure at 4-0, Kevin Petullo is looking around going, what the hell do they want from it? You don't understand until you're actually in that moment. And now he's feeling the pressure. But we should have seen this coming considering this guy's job. If you're going to complain last year about the passing game.
That was his job.
He had this job with less work to do and only focusing on the passing game. And he sucked at that job.
Let's take the guy in charge of the worst part of our offense last year and make him in charge of the whole damn thing. All right, we'll get right back to it after the break. Your calls and all this. What's next for the Phillies? A lot of decisions to make this offseason. We'll let you hear from Kyle Schwarber on his future. It was interesting to hear the emotion in his voice, plus Bryce Harper on Topper's future as well. You got to hear this, because I was struck by how Bryce Harper answered a question about Topper, and does he want him back, and do the Phillies want him back as their manager in 2026. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Bros in for Hugh. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.